We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our awesome, gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford. How are you?
I am alive and well.
You look at you all fabulous looking.
Well, thank you. Thank you, girl.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. We have been having some technical difficulties. Therefore, we have not been able to post it. So just bear with us. We will get it worked out soon. Technology is awesome when it works properly. Our sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford, located right here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barbara Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. And if you would like to be put on the blessing wheel for the blessing book for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment, done. We will be doing the wheel on Monday, April 3rd. So you still have time to go back, like, share, and comment before Monday. The book for this month is Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. And you don't have to limit those prayers to just your children. I think I covered it all, Sister Judy. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes. Father, we humble ourselves before you today, and we thank you that you are a great God. There's none like you. You're created the heavens and the earth, the work of your hand, Lord. Father, that you would open our eyes to realize how great you are, that you would open our understanding, Lord, that we can understand who you are, that your word will open to us, that we can understand, God, where we're at, that we can understand what's going on, Lord, and how the enemy tries to come at us, that we can stand and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I ask for your anointing today, Lord. I need it. I cannot do it without you. I ask for your anointing. You know who's listening. I pray you'll touch their hearts and minds, and that the word of God might feed them today. Strengthen us, bless us all in this room. May it be a time of worship and praise and fun. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, Winning the Battle in the Mind.
Yes, that's where it's at. It all happens right here.
Sister Judy, it's like a war zone up in there for me sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Still.
It is. And I wish, actually, I prayed one time and I asked the Lord. I was showering, actually, and I was praying in the shower. And I said, Lord, please don't ever let the devil speak to me again. I do not want him speaking to me. And the Lord spoke back to me and said, I will not block his voice. So there is a reason that the Lord allows him to come at us, because that makes us get into the word, and it makes us learn how. And listen, without this, there's no way we can compass all the things that the enemy sends our mind. Because sometimes, really, for people, it is a hard thing to know if that was just their thought, if that was a God thought, or if that was a devil thought. Mm-hmm. And when we can't discern that, then we're going to get ourselves and other people in all kinds of trouble. So we have to go to the word of God. Look in Galatians. If we look at Galatians 5, chapter 5, we will see in Galatians that it tells us what is the fruit of the Spirit. So if these things, let's see if I can find it real quick. Galatians, Ephesians. So that's right before Ephesians. So the fruit of the Spirit, I have my other Bible that's marked a little better than in this one. In the fruit of the Spirit, if he says, if we live by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The acts of the sinful nature, it tells us first what those are, but it tells us later, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if it's not of those three, then look at the list above. Our actions and our thoughts could very well be. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Now listen to this one. You think this is really, this is where a lot of families have problems. Discord. I mean, we're just not in sync with one another. Mm-hmm. Churches have this problem. And you say, oh, I'm wrong. I want the carpet red. No, I want the carpet green. Well, I want, you know, my husband was a presbyter, and he'd go into a church that was having trouble, and half of them be on this side and half of them be on that side, and they were against that and that. Well, really, the truth is they neither one were either each other's enemy. There was an enemy that was causing discord.
Come on.
And when we go, wait, this is not about me. This is about advancing the kingdom. This is about souls saved. And if there's any of this in our church, in our families, in our own heart, then we need to get back to the scriptures, and we need to pray through and find out what it is. And I love how the Lord, if you'll go to him, he will pinpoint and he will say, I don't want that. And yeah. Would you give that to me? He'll never take it from you. He won't just slap you around. But now the devil, he is different. He's of a total different nature. He comes for one reason, the scripture says. That's to steal from you. And he will use these things. He will use the discord. He will use hatred. He will use all of these things. And he will come after you. And he will make you think, well, weren't they rude to me? Weren't they? Well, the devil knew that rude would push your buttons. Because you've been treated rude before. And so I think the devil studies us, is what I think.
Yeah, it's like he has a list. Okay, here's Monica's list.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, so.
This really gets her.
Let's hammer her with this one.
Ooh, yeah.
This one will really get her in a pickle.
Yeah,
she'll be throwing
a cussing fit before the day's over. You just watch. You know, I mean, I think that's what the devil does, because he told God, you just watch Job.
Yep.
Yeah, you think he's so great. You let me at him. Because if I get at him, he's going to curse you to your face. He told God, he must really hate God. I think, wasn't he, you're not supposed to, but I guess you can use this as the idiot. I don't know. The Bible says that Michael didn't bring any railing accusations against him when he was fighting over the body of Moses with him. And he said, the Lord rebuke you. But sometimes you want to think, wasn't that idiotic to rebel against God? To actually think the pride that took to rebel against the Creator, when you're a created being and you think you can overcome God. Well, God already tells us what his end is. Mm-hmm. We already know he's going to be in the lake of fire. So he's pretty ticked. So how can he hurt God? He can't touch God. He can't hurt God. So what did he do? You let me at Job. He challenged God. You let me at Monica and you see. You let me at Tina and you watch. You let me at Judy and you watch what she does. And I think he goes, see there, they didn't pass that test very well. You know, I think, but God says, but I have mercy, that's my daughter. Mm-hmm. But I have mercy, that's my child. Now go, you can't do anything else to her. Get out of here, Satan. And anyway, we have that to contend with. We have to go and say, wait, and then we check ourselves and go, whoa, what did I just say? Oh, okay, Lord, forgive me. The Bible says, he that hath been born again, you won't just live in sin. You won't continually sin. You may slip up. And who lives perfectly that we don't slip up? But the Bible says, little children, I say unto you that you sin not. But if you do, thank God, but if you do. But if you do, you have an advocate with Christ. Mm-hmm. We have an advocate with the Father through Christ. We go to the Father, and the Bible says he invites us, come boldly before my throne of grace, that you may find grace and mercy. We need grace and mercy. Man, I need it every day. I need it while I sleep. I need grace and mercy in my life. And he says that's what we'll receive when we go for it. He loves it when we realize that we're inadequate. We can't do it. That's why when we get to heaven, we're going to have full understanding, and we're going to see what all he gave us, and our love is going to be so pure and so holy, and we're going to realize he carried us.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. He did it. He corrected me. I'd have been off in left field, but he corrected me. I'd have been over here into this, but he corrected me. He kept me on the straight and narrow. He had mercy on me. He had mercy on me when I failed. He loved me when I didn't know what to do. He loved me through my pain and confusion, through all the coming, and he made something beautiful of my life. Not because I'm anything, but because he's everything. Mm-hmm. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my friend. He's my joy. He's my protector. He's my companion. He's my husband. He's my everything. Monica gave me that scripture. He's our husband. He takes good care of us. And if we will just keep our hand in his, he has the power to get us up there whole and pure and righteous. And if we will cast our, if we will serve him, when we get there, we're going to realize, oh, Jesus, I don't deserve this crown. Thank you for it. Because he's going to reward us for our sacrifices. He's going to reward you for what you've done for him. He's going to reward you, girls, for spending your mornings here reaching people. He's going to reward you for giving a cup of cold water to those that are thirsty. Any small thing you've done, the Bible says you will not lose your reward. And he's going to reward us. But when he gives us that crown of life and we're worshiping him, we're going to say, I'm not worthy. And we're not just going to put it down. We're just going to throw it at him. We're just going to be so, I think we're going to be so overcome since we cast our crown at him, at his feet. We cast our crown. We throw it at his feet. Can you imagine all these crowns coming in and say, you're worthy, Lord. You're King of kings. You are Lord of lords. And at your name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day. I look forward. Here, while back, I was like, Jesus, could you just like come and get me? You know, I'm tired. Aren't you tired of the battle? Don't you get tired in the battle sometimes? You get tired. You think, well, today's the last day I'm going to have to fight. But you know what? We're probably going to have to fight some battle until we take our last breath. We're probably going to have to. But you know what? His grace is sufficient for me. For his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I'm weak sometimes in my thinking. I'm weak sometimes in my emotions. I'm hurting in my emotions sometimes. I long for silver sometimes. I hurt because I'm alone sometimes. I don't know the right way or say to do sometimes. Sometimes I make blunders with my speech or with my thinking or with something. But you know what? His grace is sufficient for me. And he understands me, and I believe he kisses our brow. And when we're sleeping, we don't think, we think we're there all alone. There's an angel watching over us. There's his mighty hand that guides us and keeps us. Oh my, I feel his presence so sweet. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is in love with us. He was in love with us so much that he gave his life for us. And when I was hurting over my parents' divorce, I was kneeling at my divan, and my husband and my children were gone, and it got dark when they were gone, and I didn't even move to get up and turn on lights as I was praying. It got dark, and I'm sitting in the dark in front of my little black leather divan in LaSalle, Colorado. We lived in the back of the church in an apartment back there for 4 years. And then 2 years, they bought a house for us to enjoy. And, oh, my, that house, I would go sit in it before we actually got to move in. And just like, oh, wow, I get to live here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So a home was really important to me, and God did special things to me for homes because I've lived in parsonages all my life. And my dad, you know, and then not that anything was wrong with that. A house was provided. Mm-hmm. But it was just important to me. And God gave me that home for 2 years. Had a full basement. Had 3 bedrooms upstairs, 2 bedrooms downstairs. Just had one bath because the bath wasn't. But you know, God gives every good gift, and every good gift comes from him. And I lost the chart and got thinking about the house and forgot what I was, forgot my train of thought, where I was going with that one. But anyway, God is good, and he gives good gifts to his children, and he is the love of our life. And maybe we need to pray. Can we pray early?
Sure.
Okay. I will get back on my.
We want to continue to pray for Ashlyn Franklin, the young lady who was electrocuted on the job. They removed her arm a couple of inches under her elbow yesterday, and she was having a lot of pain when she was coming out of the anesthesia. We want to pray for our friend and faithful listener, Mignon, who has a sinus infection. And I'd like to pray for Monica, her mom and sister, and everyone else that's traveling to and from Aglow this weekend.
Yay. I'm so excited.
How fun that's going
to
be.
And we get to, we got it approved that we can go live, The Rock can go live. So I will be
there so we can watch it.
So keep an eye out this weekend, y'all. Keep an eye out because we will be there. Yay.
If Ashley sees this, I want her to know that God still has a plan for her. She may feel like her life is over, you know, and it is as she knew it. But God will do a new thing in her. And if she will trust all the sorrow of this to him, he will heal her, he will lift her, and he will make her usable. And he will do mighty things for her if she will just not blame him. Because the devil is the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God takes what the devil means for harms and somehow turns it to our good. You know, Nick Vujicic from Australia was born without arms and legs. And at 8 years old, he tried to commit suicide in the bathtub. He turned over and tried to drown. Mm-hmm. But then he remembered that his mom and daddy would come and find him and how hurt they would be. But God somehow, in his early teens, let him know he had a purpose for his life. Nick today travels all over the world and preaches. And because he looks like he does, he has a little bitty foot that's right down here. And he types with that foot. And he can type 53 words a minute with that foot. He can swim. I have a video of him, and he's swimming. And it shows how he showers. He pulls a string they have and with his teeth and showers and they have the soap on the wall and he will just soap himself down, you know, he's amazing. But he had to know that God had a plan and a purpose. He'd get teased at school and bullied at in school, and today he has a wife, a beautiful wife, and 4 children.
And traveled,
you know. And they were asking them about their personal life. Someone was, and she said, "We have all we need." I got tickled. But his life has turned out something beautiful, even though it was started tragic. His mother, when she saw him, threw up. The daddy turned and walked out. You know, I mean, it's just here, no arms and no legs. And what do you do? And he said there was no sign. There was nothing to tell them that this would happen. But think of the other children that he's helped. He goes to school after school, you know. So I'm just telling her she's going to grieve her losses. But God is going to make something beautiful.
Give that grief to the Lord. Yes. You know, and that I want to add to that, because whenever I lost Mark and Victoria, I got angry. I became a very angry person. And
well, you're hurting so deeply.
Mad at God.
That makes you angry.
You know, and I learned someone was brave enough. My daughter, Amy Love, my daughter in love, Amy Lovell, one day I was driving past the cross where my daughter died on the side of the road. And I was on the phone with Amy, and I just said, "Why did God take my baby?" And she said, "I don't know what God you serve, but the God I serve didn't do that. The devil did that." Mm-hmm. God. And then I started spending time with the Lord, and I had a lot of and I was an angry person. I was angry.
Of course.
But I started talking to the Lord about it. It's like, "Lord, I don't want to be angry at you. I don't understand any of this. Uh-uh. And I'm so angry. I am so angry."
There's a little song that says, "All my confusion, he understood." Mm-hmm.
And he so sweetly told me, "I see your anger. I see it. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. Give it all to me.
Yeah.
Give me all of it." Because that anger that you're feeling stems from that grief. Mm-hmm. So I want you to bring it to me. And when I did, my life changed.
Yeah.
And then he so sweetly told me, "Now let's turn that anger."
Oh.
Give me that anger.
Yeah.
So we can turn it.
Yeah.
And point it at the right one.
Yes.
And then, woo, and then, my child, we gonna do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo.
The devil may take, but our God receives.
Amen. Amen. Mike Murdoch lost the contact with his child at one time, and he said, no fault of mine, he says, but I lost contact with my son because they took him away. His wife and him were divorced, and he couldn't see his child. And he went to the piano. He said he was in a hotel, and he went to the piano hotel, hotel piano, and sat down, and he began to play this song and write this song. What men take away, God will restore. And when he gives back, he always gives more. So never fear when you lose what you hold dear. What men take away, God will restore. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
And isn't that true?
Sister, when you feel the emotions of what you're dealing with, I want to encourage you to give it all to God.
Amen.
Because he will receive it from you, mm-hmm, and then he will do his works, mm-hmm, with it. And then whenever he restores you, when he gives it, when he pours it back out on you,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be so beautiful.
Yes. And this goes for anybody with any loss.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost a house to fire. I was at the dog groomers the other day and left my dog, and she told me when she'd call me, and she never called. And so like 6:30, I went down there, and the place was locked up, and my dog, I could hear her bark inside, and so I she could hear my, you know, voice. Anyway, the key was in the door, and so I opened it and got my dog, left her a check, and I got in the car. I thought, she didn't cut very much, you know, off the dog. Well, she didn't groom her at all. She just washed her, and she had gotten a telephone call. Her house burned. And she told me part of her living room's standing and the bedrooms are standing. She lost all her exotic birds. And that was just, you know, here in town. Mm-hmm. So there's people who've lost things. Mm-hmm. And no matter if it's a loss, whatever kind of loss it is,
yes,
you grieve that loss.
Yes.
And that's when we have to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, you've got to help me. With my loss with Thilbert, I would just grieve so heavily, it would just hurt. Literally hurt inside.
Yes.
And I got where I didn't,
yes,
even want to cry anymore. I didn't want to cry because it hurt so bad to cry. And I was sitting on the back bedroom bed, and I was praying, and the presence of the Lord came, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, my husband's name is Thilbert, and he said, Thilbert is very happy. Mm. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then he said, and he is very honored for the work he did for the Lord. Now, when we left the church, there wasn't a big fanfare, you know, not much was said, and I'm not blaming them, it's just the way it happened. And we were driving by the church one day, and he took a piece of paper and drew that church off how it's supposed to be. He drew the plan.
Mm-hmm.
He took it to an architect, and the architect widened the halls and added prayer room and did a few things, you know. And he general contracted that himself. He would come home, and I'd say, ask a question. He said, don't ask me any questions. I've answered questions all day long. I can't answer any more questions, you know. Well, we were driving by one day, and I thought, you know, I just remember when we left that day, nothing. And I'm not faulting. Please don't think I'm faulting anybody. I'm just being human here. Nothing was said that Thilbert had built the church, and, you know, that I remember. Maybe it was, and I don't remember it. But not any big accolades, you know. And so I was just expecting that for him, and it didn't happen. It did at his funeral, you know. But anyway, we're going by it one day, and I just thought of that, and I thought of the other building he had built, and not much said, or nobody said. It just took it for granted. He just built a building onto the granite and built a, you know, changed some of the granite stuff and made that church really nice and built a drive-through. And anyway, and he had some men helping. He just, a church we built in Springfield, he went out, and he picked up lava rock, maybe not lava, but it was a rock that was out in the open land. He hand-picked them up, brought them to the church. He didn't know how to rock a church. So what he did is he decided the design. If not, he put one up, and he would wire it to the wall. And then he put the putty around it, the cement around it. And that is a beautiful wall that's still standing. He built an upstore that we had a house and a church, and he built the in-between there where we had offices upstairs. I mean, he hand-built that, him and an old gentleman that lived in a dugout that came to our church. And so anyway, I think on all of all that. So as we're passed by that church, I'm thinking, nobody ever said anything about anything he did. Nobody, he didn't hardly get any praise. He was the sixth child in the family, didn't get a lot of attention in his family. So I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I've heard of people leaving a church and they get a trip to Hawaii. You know, I've been in ministry all my life. And so I'm not that I expected it or wanted it. It's just I'm all of a sudden now we're out of there and I'm comparing.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. And so I'm comparing. And so we go by the church and we get to a lake. And when we get out to the lake, because we had to do that at least once a day, we had to go by that lake. And so I got where I could tolerate it, okay. But now I enjoy it because that's what he and I used to enjoy doing. But anyway, I said, you know, honey, and we're just at the start going into the lake area. I said, you know, honey, for all the buildings and all the pastoring you've done, you've not got very many accolades. And he stopped the car like, and he said, Judy, the Lord is going to reward me.
Amen.
And I'm like, almost like silly girl. You know, he wasn't expecting anything, but the Lord came and told me then. Dilbert knew he was going to be rewarded in heaven, and that was enough. Amen. He didn't have to have men's praise. As a matter of fact, he was one that when he would give out a prophecy, later he asked me one day, because he's beginning to lose his memory, on the way home he said, "Who was there a message in tongues today, an interpretation?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Who gave it?" And I said, "Paula gave it out, and you interpreted it." He said, "Oh. Okay. I wonder why nobody else will do that." Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, because they don't have the gift, you know, or God hasn't gifted them with it yet. Now we have people that God has gifted since then that never did it before since he passed. And people have stepped. God has raised people up. God always has a church. He'll build mm-hmm. his church, you know. But mm-hmm. but anyway, when I said, he said, well, I just don't want people to think I'm trying to hog the attention. And that was just what he was. But see, we don't have to try to seek attention for ourselves, and he didn't. And the Lord just let me know he's very honored. But I'm just saying the Lord has to heal our hurts, mm-hmm. and we have to take them to the Lord because there's no other place to go. What are we going to do, carry bitterness? I was mad at a lady once because she'd lied against me, and I found it out, and I'm like, you know, now I even said the words to my mother who told me about it. This person told that person, and that person called my mama, and my mama came and talked to me, and I was just flabbergasted. And I'm like, I hate people. That's what I told her. And then, but what I really meant is I hate her. And I was in the prayer altar praying, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you hate her, don't you, Judy? And I said, yes, Lord, I do, but I don't want to. Would you take it out of my heart? And instantly, that cruddy-duddy hate left, and a love came in my heart for that woman. Mm-hmm. And I ran up to her the next time I saw her and gave her the biggest hug, and she's like, what are you? You know, she was shocked because I'd been kind of you ignore people that you don't like. You don't give them eye contact, you know. Yeah. You won't even give them as much as an eye contact when you're really mad at somebody, you know. And if I'm not giving you eye contact now, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I'm old and I don't see you or something. but anyway, praise God. Let's pray for. And her name is Ashley.
Ashlyn.
Okay. Ashlyn Franklin. Dear Jesus, I come to you for Ashlyn. Lord, we have nothing that we can bring to give you. You're the one that gave to us, Lord. You did everything for us. And Lord, I bring this precious lady to you. And Lord, you see her devastation. You see what she's been through. You see her pain. And Father, in your faithfulness, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to go to her. Lord, comfort her. Lift her. God, help her touch her body. Help her body heal. Help her body to get totally well. Teach her how to do things, God. Provide what she needs when she needs. Provide people to help her, God. And I pray most of all that she will have a heart, Lord, that seeks you, that she will look to you, that you will, oh God, be able to answer her questions, that you will be able, Lord, to heal the things that's gone in her life and turn, make beauty out of ashes, make something beautiful out of what the devil meant to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, you turn it to your beautiful, and you make something beautiful, something good. All our confusion, you understood. And that song says, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. So I pray you'll touch her and minister to her today. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. I pray for Mignon, God, that you will touch the sinus infection. She's dealt with this for a long time, and I ask, God, that you will touch it, that today will be the day, God, that her sinus is clear, that every ounce of infection goes, that she's able to get out and about and do what she wants to do, Lord, and go where she needs to go. And I pray you'll touch her and heal her. We ask it under the mighty name of Jesus. We ask it according to Isaiah 53:5 that says, by your stripes we're healed. We command that infection to leave. The three of us join our faith together with Mignon, and we say that this infection must go. You go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Jesus, we pray for Monica and for her mom and sister and all of those that are traveling, Lord, to this wonderful weekend, Lord, of praise and uplift, God. I pray that you will move on Monica, not only protect them as they travel back and forth, but, Lord, in that meeting, that you fill her cup, that you will speak to her, that the Holy Spirit will refill her, that you will deliver her in areas, God, that she don't even know she needs deliverance, Lord, that you will just become more and more to her, God, that you'll touch her mom, that great victories and deliverance, that you'll touch her sister, that her sister will be revolutionized, God, and washed in the blood of Jesus, delivered, helped, and healed. And we thank you, Lord, because you're going to do great and mighty things. Your plans for us are good. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Heart to Heart, Help, Hope, and Healing, Western Oklahoma. Forgiven and Set Free. A 4-week compassionate and confidential Bible study designed to help guide suffering and hurting women through the emotional scars of abortion experiences. This study helps women deal with issues such as relief, denial, depression, anger, letting go, forgiveness, and acceptance. Mondays only, starting April 3rd through the 24th from 6 to 7. If you would like more information or to enroll, you can call 580-243-2229. Aglow International, I'm so excited. Spring Advancement is this weekend in Borger, Texas. Stay tuned and watch for your notifications for our live feed, because we will be there. Woo, woo, go God. Prophetic Voice Ministry is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. What you got over there, sister?
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. The Cheyenne United Methodist Youth are having their annual potato bar Sunday, April 2nd, after church until around 1:30 or 2. Proceeds go to helping the youth go to summer camp. The Refuge Church is now located at the New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.